Right, today's reading is from Luke chapter 21, verses 5 to 38, which is on page 1056 in the church Bibles. So page 1056, Luke chapter 21, starting at verse 5. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one of the stones will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison. And you will be brought before kings and governors and all on account of my name. And so you will bear testimony to me. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win life. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out, and let those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment and fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, moon and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the seas. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." He told them this parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." Each day, Jesus was teaching at the temple. And each evening he went out to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to hear him at the temple.
Please look back at that passage that Catherine read for us in Luke chapter 21. And let's pray as we come and look at this message. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you for what we've been able to learn about him in this Gospel of Luke. Thank you that Luke carefully investigated everything from the beginning and wrote down an orderly account so that we could know the certainty of the things that have been fulfilled among us. So, Father, we pray by your Holy Spirit. We pray that you be deeply at work in our hearts. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. And they all lived happily ever after. Okay, we pick that up in childhood, but we still love it. You get to the end of a film, and I don't know what it is, but, you know, there's some resolution, the couple get together, or the money's returned, or whatever it is. And they all lived happily ever after. And it says that we want that to be true of our lives. There's something in us, in our society, that we just want peace and happiness and security and ease. So maybe you're looking forward to a day. You look forward and think, well, maybe there'll be a day when, indeed, there'll be peace and security and ease. Everything will be okay. So films and books usually want to have happy endings. We don't tend to like it if they don't. Governments tend to promise us happy endings. So if you vote for me, yes, it's going to be tough in the meantime, but they will all live happily ever after. I think that's a desire, whether you'd call yourself a Christian or not. If you're not a Christian here and you're just investigating the Christian faith, I guess that's a desire that you have as well, that if only, you know, we just keep going, then we'll get to this point where everything will be fine and lovely and wonderful. And maybe as Christians, we still have hope that with God on our side, that will be particularly true. Now that God is on our side, surely everything will work out fine for us. And the Jews in the first century, who Jesus is talking to, had similar ideas. They tend to be founded on the temple and their great hope that God would indeed bring about some sort of peace and security as he had in the past. But as we look at this passage of Jesus' teaching this morning, it is clear that Jesus wanted his followers and us as we read this passage to be very clear that the Christian life is going to be tough. Is going to be very, very tough. If we're looking for peace and security in the here and now, Jesus warns us that it is going to be the total opposite. The Christian life in the here and now will be full of hardship and difficulty and pain and suffering. The Apostle Paul a bit later will say, we have to go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Yes, ultimately there will be that wonderful new creation. Our future is in heaven, the new creation. We looked at that in our adult Sunday school a few weeks ago. How fantastic it will be to be with Christ in that new creation. How great that will be. But Jesus, in this passage, is very much focused on this life and expectations for Christians in this life. Jesus here is also particularly talking about the events around his death. He's talking about the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem and the destruction of Jerusalem. But as he speaks, it undoubtedly has a wider application for all of us about what our lives are going to be like if we follow Christ. So we're just going to walk through this passage and just pick up the points that he makes. And the first warning that Jesus gives is one of destruction, one of destruction. Let's pick it up in verse 5. Tarek, do you want to place the first next slide? Sorry, I haven't got my slide. Destruction. Great. Verse 5. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. So if you were admiring this amazing building, the temple, you know, that's why you went to Jerusalem. It's this fantastic temple. All those gifts, all those beautiful stones. It was a beautiful building. So it'd been a bit of a shock to the system when you heard Jesus' response to that in verse 6. But Jesus said, as what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. The temple, he said, is going to be destroyed. The temple is going to be absolutely flattened. It wasn't really shocking for the Jews to hear that. The temple was really the heart of their religious life, the heart of their relationship with God. But Jesus here says it's going to be destroyed. It's going to be completely flattened. And my first kid's question, what did Jesus say was going to happen to the temple? What did Jesus say was going to happen to the temple? And in 70 AD, the Romans did absolutely flatten the temple. They came, they laid siege to Jerusalem, and they flattened the temple. Here is Jesus, prophetically, he knows the future, he knows what's going to happen, and he warns that it's going to be destroyed. Well, the disciples are a bit shell-shocked by that. Verse 7, teacher, they asked, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place? When's this going to happen? How do we know it's going to happen? That's their question. But as ever, as we've thought about a number of times in this series, Jesus doesn't answer our questions. He has more important things to teach us. And what he wants to teach them now is about deception. That's my second point, so take the next slide, deception, in verse 8. Jesus replied, watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name, claiming, I am he. And the time is near. Do not follow them. Jesus warns us that all sorts of people are going to come claiming religious authority. In fact, claiming to be Christ. Claiming to be Christ, calling us to follow him. They'll have all sorts of messages. I guess many of them's messages will be, there will be peace and prosperity. You come and follow me and come to my church, then there will be peace and prosperity. Everything will be okay. We can see the false teachers among the Jews who like their flowing robes. They like to, beautiful processions. And they all look very impressive. Come and follow me because you can be a part of an impressive movement. Our second kid's question. Who will come and want us to follow them? Who will come and want us to follow them? And again, in the pages of the New Testament, there are warnings of false teachers. Warnings not to be led astray. I remember somebody saying they thought that pretty much on every page of the New Testament there is some sort of warning about false teaching. I'm not sure that's quite true, but it's still pretty regular throughout the New Testament. Be careful. There are going to be people trying to take you away from the gospel. Don't follow them. So Jesus warned that there's going to be the destruction of the temple. He's warned that there's going to be deception. He's warned it's going to be very, very hard. Then he warns of disasters. Verse 9. When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Then he said, the nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be great earthquakes, famines and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. And just in Europe in the last few years, we've seen pretty much all these events. We now have a war in Europe. We're shocked by that. There's a full-scale war going on, of course, in Ukraine. And plenty of other wars going on in other parts of the world that we forget about. Our news doesn't follow. We've seen the COVID-19, a pestilence. We've seen the terrible earthquakes in Turkey and Syria in the last couple of months. They can be very, very distressing and upsetting. Particularly, it's not that we just hear about them, as Jesus says, but actually now, of course, we see them. We can get 24-hour news, and we can see the images that are so upsetting. Images of collapsed, burnt-out buildings, people desperately trying to find people in the rubble. Images of overcrowded hospitals. But Jesus says, these are going to happen, but do not be frightened by it. It is very unsettling. But Jesus says, I know they're going to happen. Somehow they are under his control. Somehow they are part of his plan. He's not surprised by them. They're part of what it means to be living in a fallen world. I guess when the pandemic first started, lots of people go, well, what's going on? Why is this happening? To which we come back to the words of Scripture. Well, Jesus said they would happen. It shouldn't surprise us. We live in a world that is under God's curse. We live in a world that is under God's just wrath. These things are going to happen. Do not be frightened. And so on encourage us, you know, when we see the latest bulletin from the Ukraine, when we hear of the latest pandemic, or we hear of images and see images of the next earthquake. Jesus, these things are going to happen. Don't be frightened. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. The end is going to come, but not yet. And of course, in those times, we can pray. We can lift them to the Lord. We can know with confidence that Jesus knows about these things. He's not surprised by them. So let's come and pray to him. But Jesus then goes on to warn for Christians that things will get worse. So I've run out of D's in my headings. So we're just going to think about Christian persecution. Let's pick up in verse 12. Verse 12. But before this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogue and put you in prison, and you'll be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. Here's a truth that we see from all around the world. So the Christians are being seized and persecuted. Open doors and Barnabas Fund help us to know and pray for these things. We saw that in our studies in the book of Acts, when there's that great persecution in Jerusalem right at the beginning, and all the disciples were driven out of Jerusalem. Christians are going to be persecuted. My third kid's question, what will happen to Christians? What will happen to Christians? So notice it's not just the sort of ruling authorities, it's not just governments. Look at verses 16 and 17, in some ways most shocking. Verse 16, you'll be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me. But not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win life. Even in your families, brothers, sisters, relatives, friends, people are going to be betrayed. Again, we read about that around the world. I know some of you, even this congregation here, have had that sort of experience, and aware of that experience in your wider families. And sadly, many Christians are killed. I think the figure for 2022 was 6,000 or so. Verse 17. Everyone will hate you because of me. That's an extraordinary statement, isn't it? Everyone will hate you because of me. We live in a world that has rejected God. We live in a world that prefers to live without God. And so we're reminded, Jesus reminds us that if that's the case, if people hate God, they will hate us as well. And sadly, we got a small taste of that yesterday morning, doing door-to-door, visiting people door-to-door in one sense. It's interesting that, you know, people would open the doors. It's not everybody, but some people open the doors, you know, explain who we are. Hello, we're from Grace Church Wandsworth. We're here because we want to tell you about Jesus, so you can find out about Jesus. And just a number of people would just look at us, no, and shut the door. I wouldn't say it was open hatred, but contempt and disdain for who we were and what we were trying to do. But Jesus wants to know that there is a good purpose in this. Verse 13. And so you will bear testimony to me. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand. You will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. As Christians are handed over to stand before kings and governors, they'll be given the chance to testify about Jesus. And Jesus promises to be with us in those situations. A little bit later on in Luke's account in the book of Acts, Peter and John are hauled before the rulers and give an account of Jesus. There's a memorable line, salvation is found in no one else but Jesus Christ. And the authorities are quite struck by it. And they comment, they saw the courage of Peter and John and realised they were unschooled, ordinary men. And they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. Clearly, Jesus had given them this testimony. So when they spoke it to the authorities were really quite impressed. Gosh, these people, you know, they're unschooled, nobody's taught them how to speak, and yet here they are, speaking powerfully of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul had this experience in his life too. So the church in Philippi were very concerned. They'd heard that the apostle, their lovely apostle who brought them the gospel, had been put in prison. And they're deeply concerned about it. And he writes to encourage them. So I meant to have this text on, but let me just read it to you. This is from Philippians chapter 1. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, said the Apostle Paul, that what has happened to me, I have been arrested, has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard, i.e. all the soldiers who kept guarding Paul and did other things, to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. So to the Philippian church, they were deeply worried about it. And here was their great apostle in prison. But glorious in one thing, Paul saw it as an opportunity. Well, these people have to come and guard me. And well, every time somebody comes and guards me, I tell them about Jesus. So now the whole guard has heard about Jesus, because even the ones who haven't come to God, they've probably heard. Well, they're going, gosh, that guy, be careful, you don't end up with Paul. He's just going to keep telling about Jesus the whole time. And then there's also this great encouragement. Yes, the Christian life is going to be terrible, but there's great encouragement in these verses as well. Look with me at verse 17. Everyone will hate you because of me. Yes, that's a very stark verse. But not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm and you will win life. What a promise. What a promise. We stand firm in God's strength. We will receive this glorious, eternal, true life with him. And so when we're in trouble, when we're struggling, let's keep looking forward to what God promises us. Stand firm and you will win life. Jesus then returns to focus again on this terrible judgment on Jerusalem. And I've entitled this point, Dreadful Day for Mothers, Dreadful Day for Mothers. We're on verse 20. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out. Let those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment and fulfillment that all has been written. How dreadful it would be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against his people. So Jerusalem is going to be surrounded by these terrible forces, armies. This desolation is coming. We're given the reason for this punishment. So verse 22. For this is the time of punishment. The fall of Jerusalem is a punishment on the people. You may remember a few weeks ago we looked at the power of the wicked servants. They were given this vineyard by the owner, and they loved the vineyard, but when the owner sent his servant to get the rent, they beat him and sent him away. Ultimately, the owner sent his son, and they killed the son because they wanted to keep hold of the vineyard. And Jesus said, well, what's the owner of the vineyard going to do if you kill the son? Well, he's going to come and destroy, he's going to come and judge you and give the vineyard to others. And so this is what Jesus says is going to happen. This is what this judgment is recent. They've killed God's son, and now God's judgment is going to fall upon them. It's the time of punishment, the time of wrath is going to come. And so Jesus warns his followers to flee, to get out. He warns of dreadful days for pregnant and nursing women. What a text for Mothering Sunday. Any time of war and fleeing are terrible for nursing mothers. But it is good to know that Jesus understands that. Jesus understands that. He's aware of the difficulty for a nursing mum. I hope you'll take great comfort from that. Jesus knows your situation. He cares for you. The terrible destruction, the dreadful day for mothers. But then again, Jesus takes out the big lens. He's focused back on Jerusalem now. As he comes to the end, he talks about the coming of the Son of Man. The next point, the coming of the Son of Man. Verse 27. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and great glory. One day, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, will come in judgment. Ultimately, as we think about the destruction of the temple, the desolation of Jerusalem, they're just foretastes of that great coming judgment of the world by Christ. This is an event that Jesus talks about again and again. It's an event that his followers talk about again and again and again. The ultimate judgment, when the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, returns in great glory to judge the living and the dead. But as Jesus speaks about this, in other passages, he warns them. I guess he's been warning the Jewish leaders throughout this era. You know, I am coming back. Be careful. Don't kill me. If you kill me, judgment will fall upon you. But in this passage, he wants to encourage believers. So verse 28, when you see these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. It's interesting that in some passages of the Bible, when judgment is coming, there's the picture of people running into caves, trying to cower down, trying to get away from God because they know that God's anger is going to fall. But here for the Christian, the attitude is completely different. We can look up with expectation and wonder at the coming of the Son of Man, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his death for us, because we put our sins onto him, we can know there is forgiveness and redemption and rescue. What can we do when we see Jesus coming? Next kid's question. What can we do when we see Jesus coming? And so as we come to the end of the passage, Jesus then just draws the strands together. Let's pick it up in verse 34. Be careful, says Jesus. Be careful, or your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. This is talking about the whole judgment of God. And Jesus says, we need to be careful that we don't just go the way of carousing, of drunkenness, of hedonism, of the parties, of looking for the next fun thing, the next buzz or whatever it is. We need to be careful about just seeking pleasure on earth. I guess one of the false teachers would say, yeah, eat, drink and be merry. Look, this is just the life you've got to have. You know, drink, eat, satisfy yourself. It's easy for us to lose sight of Christ's return and just live for the here and now. I can find myself dealing with DIY projects. What's the next DIY project that's going to make my house just a little bit nicer? Rather than thinking, no, ultimately, Christ is going to come back. Watch out, says Jesus. Good question. How much do we think about Jesus returning? So I'll say, I often think, well, maybe if I did this little DIY project, everything would be a bit nicer at home. How much do I think about that? And how much do I actually think about Jesus returning? Because I do try and spend a bit of time every day just trying to think about Jesus' return. He is coming back. And we need to be ready. We need to be focused on it. That's where our focus needs to be. Verse 36. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen. And that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Be always on the watch. Pray. We need to watch. There are going to be these terrible times. Many of our brothers and sisters around the world are suffering those terrible times. Terrible times may well come to us. We need to pray. Father, help us. Father, help them. Help those people who are being persecuted. Father, help them. Help us, Father, strengthen us. Help us so that we can endure. Be also much and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, i.e. that we can get through the deceptions, we can get through the destructions, we get through the persecutions, we get through the wars and the pestilences and the famines. Father, strengthen us. Help us to watch. Help us to endure. Help us to stand firm and continue to trust Christ and his redemption until we stand before him on the last day. Final kids' question. What does Jesus want us to be doing as we look forward to his coming? What does Jesus want us to be doing as we look forward to his coming? And they all lived happily ever after. As a Christian, we need to understand that in this life, it is not going to be about peace and prosperity. It's not going to be a happily ever after story in this life. Jesus warns us that it is going to be very, very tough. There are going to be false teachers who are maybe going to tell us about an easier path, a simpler path, a nicer path for us to follow. There are going to be wars and famines and pandemics that Christians and us may well get caught up in. There's going to be persecution. It's going to be terrible betrayal. Jesus says, be careful. Don't be deceived. Watch. Pray. As we look forward to that great day coming. Well, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this is hard teaching for us. We in our society love to think that everything in our lives will be easy and pleasant and comfortable. We like to think that we will have peace and security and prosperity. And we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the stark teaching that because we live in a sinful, rebellious world that is under your judgment, it won't be easy for us. Father, we cry out to you for help. Help to know when we are being deceived. Help to keep following your true Son and not some false Messiah. Lord, help us when we see wars and famines, not to be frightened, but to trust you and your sovereign good purposes. Lord, we think of our brothers and sisters around the world who suffer terrible persecution, who are in prison, who've been betrayed by family members. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen them. Lord, give them opportunities to speak of you to the authorities, to kings and governors when they're brought before them. Father, thank you for many such kings and rulers, authorities and guards who have been brought to faith through that testimony. We pray for nursing mums and those with small children in places of war and famine. Lord, thank you that you know their situation. Thank you that you care for them. We pray that you would strengthen them to persevere. Lord, we thank you that as we see all these terrible events, we can know that the coming of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to happen. That we can lift our heads and know that we will receive life. Know that our redemption is drawing near. And so, Father, help us to be careful. Help us to watch and pray. Help us not to turn away from you into pleasure seeking. Help us to escape all these things so that we can stand before the Son of Man, confident of your grace, confident of your salvation. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.